Let's celebrate this month. Let's celebrate this week. Welcome to the Big Weekly Blend podcast, the companion to our Big Weekly Blend magazine. Hey, everybody, we're super excited to kick off the month of December. Oh, it is the final month of the year, and we've got two special guests on today's show. We've got Johnny Schaefer, an incredible singer-songwriter, just amazing, and he's going to be joining us every first Sunday of the month, so we're excited about that.
Awesome.
And we also have Chef Ivan Flowers, a five-star chef, also a culinary instructor. He teaches teens in high school in Temecula how to cook, which is awesome. So he'll be on the show giving us some insights, some holiday recipe insight, talking about pears. It is pear month, by the way, in December. So we'll be talking about that and also digging into some of the foodie holidays of December. But first, Johnny Schaefer is here. Johnny, how are you?
I'm great, Lisa and Nancy. So nice to be with you once again. Happy December.
Yes, happy December to you. And listen, everyone, go to hearjohnny.com.
Here's Johnny.
Not here's Johnny, but hearjohnny.com. He's got a brand new, I've just lost my notes here a second, but you've got a brand new album, video out, Shepherd's Delight. It's a song that you wrote with Lynn Cowell. Tell us a little. This is a beautiful video. Paco did an amazing job. I especially love the watercolor part of it. Tell him that, please. But this is a beautiful song.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we kind of, the idea behind the video was to make it sort of like a musical greeting card, like a Christmas card, that actually, comes to life. And I think it really works well that way. Usually when I write my songs, the music and lyrics come at the same time, but occasionally I'll just either get a melody or I'll get a lyric. And with this, I don't know what possessed me, but I just, one day I was just thinking about the Christmas story. And then I wrote this lyric about, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, in the hills, on Christmas Eve. And, I didn't have a specific melody, and I'd been wanting to write with Lynn because I really respect her. She's a marvelous singer-songwriter, composer. Mm-hmm. She actually heads up entertainment at Magic Mountain in Valencia, California. Puts on the shows there. And she's been a member of the Society of Composers and Lyricists for a long time, and got me into that. And when I was putting out my Christmas album, she really kind of helped me with some of the back, behind the scenes stuff. And I approached her with this lyric, Shepherd's Light, and very quickly she came back at me with this beautiful melody that she'd written, and she sang it on the demo that she made. And I loved how she sang it so much. I said, Lynn, you have to sing this with me. And so she says, oh, wow, I'd love to. And so I kind of, her approach was very much almost like maybe an Irish or a Celtic a folk song, just very simple. And so I really tried to follow her lead on the way I approached it vocally, just singing very lightly and like a storyteller. And then she played the auto harp. And a friend of hers, mother, was named Virginia Henry, and had this beautiful auto harp that he gave to Lynn to record the song on. And so we dedicated the song to the memory of Virginia Henry because, auto harp is a big part of American history and with, church music particularly. And so it was great to have that. And I my approach to my Christmas album, which is called From Here to Nativity, was to have it be a musical journey from Advent through Christmas and then onto Epiphany. And I wanted it to be like on our Christmas tree at our house. I know some people go with themes, but we always have a few ornaments every year that are meaningful to us that we add. And so it's a mishmash of sacred ornaments and fun ornaments and Santa and reindeer and snowmen. And then it's got a Cal State Fullerton ball that from when I graduated from Cal State Fullerton. There's one for my hometown of Porterville on there. That's like Christmas globe. Mm. Yeah. The album to be the same way, where it's a variety of styles of music. So there's dance music and harp and cello and all everything in between.
I love it because I think even when I said the album at the beginning, yes, we are drinking wine, everybody, as we record this, because we just had this amazing bottle of what is R.E.D. wine, the red wine from LDV Winery. You can hear the interview on Wednesday's show, December 6th, I believe it is, the first Wednesday of the month. Anyway, with Peggy from LDV Winery. And it's a fantastic blend. And we actually got to go to their vineyard a few weeks ago. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We went from North Carolina to the winery just outside Tucson to pick up wine and meet her and her husband and do a tasting, and then go to Tucson to go to Natchitoches, Louisiana, to come to Lubbock, Texas, where we're recording this now. And so it's kind of crazy with this wine. So this wine has been everywhere, literally. Mm-hmm. Nice. But when I was going back to the album, when I mentioned the album, that's where we met you. It was the first time, I think, was with your Christmas. Am I right? That was the first time?
Yes. It was. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's amazing. And Unflown. Unflown. Was it? Or did Unflown come before the Christmas album?
Unflown was after the Christmas album.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're just used to you being around us, you know? You're like a little angel. Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, we cover Tulare County and the Sequoias and that region, and we're familiar with that. And that's where you're from. And I think it's just wild how small a world it is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that Christmas music and this song, it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And it's so nice to just hear a song that you can lean into that is not so full of the holly jolly Christmas bells to the point of stop it.
It's not commercial.
Yeah, and it's not overdone.
There's a big difference, because there was a span of years where all Christmas songs came out commercial. And so now we're back to let's talk about the real Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I see so many people complaining. I'm sorry, go ahead. A lot of people complain about Christmas music. And when I walk through the stores, I get it. Mm. Like, there's the stuff they play in many stores and restaurants and such is awful. And it's very, you know, like you said, commercial and overproduced and tacky. Yeah. And I just want to remind people there's a lot of really great Christmas music out there. You know?
Yes, there is. And so, speaking of that, we have, we're starting our Christmas music fest. It's Christmas and winter holidays. So you're going to hear things for New Year's.
Yeah.
We're going to have some holiday music for Hanukkah. We're going to have some Kwanzaa music. Not sure what that's going to be yet, but I'm going to figure it out. I don't know. I don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but I'll celebrate everything, you know. So we're just going to put together a nice winter music mix that is also for the holidays and the winter season. So we're putting that together, and we're going to do it on this Sunday that this show airs. And, you know, it's the big weekly blend podcast, so it lasts a week. But this music mix will grow each week as we go through December and through winter. And then January, we'll start off with a whole new thing. But we're going to just build on this as we go this month, because I think it's just one of those special times, and why not go for it? But I felt it's so interesting, Johnny, because, you know, as we travel the country full time, you know, we're on the road and we're always doing the radio. What can we find the local station? Because you can find really, really local stations where there people are calling in to buy and sell their trailer, get someone to mow their yard. I mean, seriously. And I love it when I find stuff like that. You, Nancy knows, I get giddy. Mm-hmm. Like, you're hearing the people of the town. And sometimes you get university channels and stuff like that, which are cool on the radio, but it's rare, because the rest of the time you're listening to the same preset playlist on radio stations, and it's the same, you know, thing. But this year, even more than last year, wouldn't you say, Nancy? It's we have Christmas channels going even pre-Thanksgiving. Don't you think, Nancy? It was pre-Thanksgiving Christmas channels or stations, wherever we were traveling this year. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Nancy went, but that's what we've been hearing everywhere. I don't know. She disappeared.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm in some Christmas groups because I love Christmas, and the people are often really obsessed about, well, when can I start listening to Christmas music? When can I start decorating my house? And I'm all, well, whenever you want to. It's not like, you know, there's this rule that, you know, you can't listen to it before. If it's not your thing, don't listen to it. But for me, like, I listen to Christmas music all through the year. I mean, not all the
you
time,
can listen
but
whenever
often
you want.
I'll just get in the mood. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. So I'm excited about doing this playlist, and you've got some great songs, of course. We're going to have your newest one, especially to promote Shepherd's Light, the video. So everyone, tell everybody how they can find you on YouTube so they can see it.
It's real easy. Just write, just type in the YouTube search bar, just type at Here Johnny, HearJohnny. And my YouTube channel will come up and at Here Johnny. Yep, the at sign, and then Here Johnny. And
awesome.
All my videos will come up, and there's blurb. I have a couple of playlists. There's actually a playlist for my From Here to Nativity album. We've made videos for all but four of the songs now. And then there's also an eclectic Christmas playlist of music videos too. So,
very cool.
You know, all that's on my At Here Johnny YouTube channel.
Cool. Now I know you do a lot of work with Melissa Manchester. And
yes.
You put one of her songs on the list. There's Still My Joy.
Yes.
That's a really, I like that because I think the holiday season can be tough for people sometimes. You know,
it really
goes through ups
can.
And downs. Yeah. And
yeah.
It seems like people pass away more during the holiday season. Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but it feels like that. Don't you feel that sometimes?
Absolutely. Like, I had a friend whose daughter was killed in a car accident on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And so Christmas Eve is terrible for her every year. And so Melissa wanted to address people that, you know, that the holidays can be difficult for.
Mm-hmm.
And There's Still My Joy is stunningly beautiful. It's just a very, it's contemplative, but it just says, you know, despite all of the, you know, the pain I might be going through, you know, there's still the joy of Christmas, and it's a really lovely song. Yeah.
Nancy, you're back. We got her back. Nancy, your favorite Christmas song. What is one of your favorites?
Oh, Nat King Cole singing Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. What's the name of that? I don't know the real name.
I think that is, isn't it?
Mel Torme's Christmas song. I think he was the original. They call it the Christmas song.
Yeah, I just grew up with it. Whatever relative's house I was in, that was the song they played. And then there's all the other ones, of course. But I don't know. There's something about his voice and the lyrics that just, I don't
it
know.
It was written in the summertime. They wrote it in the summertime.
Really?
In California in the middle of the summer. Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Wow,
no, now I have to rethink it.
Maybe
all
his
now.
Chestnuts were roasting.
Because he
sets
help
but go
the
there.
Scene.
It's the wine,
sets,
I'm telling you.
No, but he sets the scene. Like,
yes, he does.
He sets the scene. And when we lived in England, we got to see chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
I talked to Glenn about playing knockers. He says don't call it knockers anymore. You can't say knockers with the chestnuts. I got in trouble.
I love roasted chestnuts.
I want some chestnuts.
I know. And so that's the first time I saw it. And it meant so much to me. Coming from the States and hearing that song and wondering what roasting chestnuts, I don't like What's a chestnut?
Giggles just now.
No,
coming.
It's funny.
Okay, I'm gonna rescue this. I want to bring up the song 2,000 Miles by Chrissy Hynde and the
Pretenders. Oh, yes.
And I have an acoustic album of hers that she did an acoustic live. I think this, I don't know if it was a VH1 or MTV or if it was just an acoustic album, but they were doing that at one time. Just they realized, hey, we want to do an acoustic live. They were recording all that kind of stuff at that time. And she did 2,000 Miles. And I don't care if it's the acoustic version or any of it is just, it's that longing of someone coming home.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Christmas or not, but, you know, she brings that up. And she just, I don't know. Chrissy Hynde is still like one of the most badassery women I know. I don't know her, but you know what I mean? She has integrity for what she believes in and stands for. I think she's a strong, amazing musician. And you've got to think when she came out in the punk era, really, and how she has stood up for animal rights big time for years. I love Chrissy Hynde, and she just took the world by storm. I think like her and Joan Jett were kind of, you know, sometimes I think at that time people were even getting them confused a little bit because they both had dark hair, you know.
Yeah. Well, Brass in Pocket, I mean, that's like a, you know, legendary with when MTV's heyday, you know, it was such a powerful video and great song.
Yeah. And so 2,000 Miles was kind of this departure a little bit of the soft ballad side. You know, when people think about like, heavy metal musicians and hard rock, like, you know, Guns N' Roses, you know, they were selling it to women. They were singing the rock ballads and the women were buying stuff. I think a lot of the heavy metal bands and everything, they wouldn't have gotten away from it. Like it, they sold to women. I believe so. I think their market, you know, whenever they did those big rock ballads, women swooned. And I think Chrissy Hynde did that with 2,000 Miles. She got
women historically always buy more than men. It's a fact.
Is that, what do you
think,
Johnny? It's true. Yeah, I mean, I would separate out gay men. But
I know, I was going to ask, I'm going to say, wait a minute, what happens with gay men? Because every gay man
that's
I know
funny.
Knows how to that's talk better
funny.
Than I can.
I, you know,
well,
I like,
can help
I don't
me,
like
big
to separate.
Time.
I don't know, you know, it just, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
boy.
Nailed, ha-ha.
Yeah,
that's
I know,
great.
That's funny. That's
okay,
shame.
So all right, so we got
what
we
about
got a good
gay
start on
women
the
then? Will you separate them out too?
No,
oh,
they
I don't
buy.
Know.
They buy too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
They do.
One more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, one more Christmas song. Because talking about Porterville, my friend Matt White.
Yes, I wanted to get into
that. Brilliant. He's a brilliant producer, songwriter, instrumentalist, and he and his sister made a Christmas song last year called California Christmas, and his sister wrote it, kind of for all the people who don't get a white Christmas, and it's really fun. And Matt does amazing guitar work on it, and I just, you know, I would love for people to hear it because it's worth,
absolutely,
you know, them hearing. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Porterville is known. I mean,
I
do you
love
think that the music? I mean, I know number one, you're near Bakersfield. There's a Bakersfield sound, right? And I think that agricultural communities breed good music. Honestly,
they do.
I do.
Yeah,
they do. If you look at
Porterville,
across America, I mean, blues,
too. Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, well, in the city, there are more distractions. There are many more choices of things to do. I mean, I think that's part of, we used to joke that there was something in the water in Porterville because so many fine musicians have come out of there, many music educators. My brother sings with LA Opera. There are just a lot of really, I'm sorry?
You were just at your brother's performance.
Yes, last night they did El Último Sueño de Frida y
whatever you're saying,
Frida,
you're
Frida Kahlo
than we
and
can
her
ever do.
Diego Rivera.
Frida
and Diego, and it was a musical about Frida and Diego,
yeah,
and it was a woman composer, woman conductor. The costume design was by women. The sets, it's gorgeous. The people in the opera are saying it's going to become part of the official opera repertoire. It was premiered in San Francisco, and then now it was done in L.A. and it's spectacular. It's the amazing thing.
Your brother was in it.
He was in it. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And
awesome.
Really proud of him, and he was proud to be part of it. And if people get a chance to see it, they really should. I think it's going to New York, and it'll be.
Cool.
It's going to
awesome.
Continue to be performed. It's really a brilliant, beautiful piece of music, and just the staging is. It's a very, very lovely marriage of visual art and music.
That's, you know,
awesome.
What? I love that. And there's also
so
the Frida Kahlo immersive experience is going around the country.
Yes.
Vincent Van Gogh, and then Frida Kahlo has that going on. I think she's one of those, you know, women to really just strength, man. Just strength, internal strength to go through injury after injury. And, you know, just, you know, and to do her art and to just, you know, be able to, you know, it's amazing. It's an amazing story. Frida's and Diego Rivera. And so we, you know, in Tucson, we do a show with Lance Labor, who's the executive director of the DeGrazia Gallery in the Sun in Tucson, which is the gallery that Ted DeGrazia built. He's a Southwest artist. He's passed now many years. And he was mentored by Diego Rivera and Jose Orozco in Mexico. And he is one of the most reproduced artists in the world. And he had so much art, he had to go. He took a mule into the Superstition Mountains in Arizona and burned his artwork so that the tax people wouldn't tax his family on his art.
Oh, wow.
That was what happened from his legacy. But he built his gallery with the Yaqui Indians and the Mexican peoples. He was friend with all the Indians. And if you ever get to Tucson, you've got to go to this gallery. You and Paco will love it. It's all adobe, built by hand. He has a mission on site, Mission Guadalupe, and also a little gallery. And the day this airs is when they have their Fiesta de Guadalupe.
Oh, nice.
And he would have nuns visit there. And he was all into Padre Kino. And it's really like a, it's huge history, but it connects Mexico to Arizona and California. Because, you know, as the Padres were part of that mission route, El Camino Real going up the, even through, you know, California near you in Porterville in that area. But going back to Porterville, so Buddy Schaefer, right? Is that, am I getting his name right?
Buck Schaefer.
Buck Schaefer. Sorry, I don't have any notes on Porterville in front of me. But like, that is fascinating, like, how he got bands together from small town California, agricultural town. You guys are an all-American city, which is a big deal, and on an all-American highway, and very patriotic community. And here's this small town going around the world, really, right? And across the country competing. So was that something growing up as to be proud of? Was that something you were a part of?
Oh, yeah. I went to Menachie High School, which is at the time there were two high schools in Porterville. Now there are more. But we also had a fantastic band director, and they were really good friends. Our director was Dale Anderson, and Buck and Dale were really good friends. And we had both schools marched over 300 kids at the time between the drill team and the band. You know, and our high school had 1,200 kids in it when I went there, and we had you know, more than a fourth of the school was on the field. And we actually went to Europe while I was when I was in high school. We marched in the London Cavalcade Parade.
Cool.
And we Edinburgh, Scotland, and
wow.
I was also in the jazz band, and we performed, we toured the U.S. and Canada for a month and played all over New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Montreal, and it was a great experience. And both Dale and Buck, and then the choir directors, my choir director was Dave Rasmussen, who's actually, I believe his birthday is the day of, is today, the day of this is airing. And
wow.
He was, we had five choirs when I was in high school, and he has so many former students, both Dale and Buck and Dave, they've all got many same former students all over the U.S. that are conducting, you know, running music programs now. So yeah, it's a great music.
Awesome. Awesome.
It is amazing.
I love
and
it.
There's that, the Centennial Park. We did a story on that in the downtown area of Porterville with, we did a story of it because it has that huge mural too. And,
both of them are in that mural. Dave and Dale are in that. Dale and Buck are in that mural. Yeah.
You know, this is so wild how we, seriously, we need to meet up in Porterville. And actually, it's crazy. Isn't it crazy? And if it wasn't from our friend Donette Silva Carter, who we met, she was the head of the chamber at the time, years and years ago, before even when we were in print. Like, it's kind of crazy, you know, when we think about the history of that region.
Long term.
Oh my gosh. What was Christmas like? Because when you look at Tulare County, I mean, this is the breadbasket of America, no joke. It is also the top in the world of agricultural production, over 200 crops or something, crazy cattle, everything. What was Christmas like? Because you have, you know, such diversity, you know, there's diversity in everything we're talking about, people, right? Nancy, don't go there with animals again. I don't want to hear it. But let's talk about diversity in people, because all of these cultures came together in the agricultural landscape. Like Tulare County, the breadbasket of America wouldn't be there without the Hmong people. We went to the agricultural museum in Visalia, Nancy. Remember they had like all these different countries, some you wouldn't even hear of, like Yugoslavia.
That's
like
fascinating.
Everywhere. Like people came from everywhere, and it was also kind of like people moving from the Dust Bowl to California to continue growing. And I'm like, that's amazing, all these cultures in one place. So Christmas time and the winter holidays, which also includes obviously Hanukkah and Kwanzaa now, and Diwali, all of these amazing holidays. What was it like growing up? I mean, it had to have like a bunch of lights on everywhere.
Oh yeah, when I used to march in junior high school and high school in the Christmas parade every year, and pretty much the whole town would come out for it, and then you'd have, you know, there'd be like the folklorico dancers would be in the parade. So there'd be, you know, the Mexican influence, people would like have like luminarias in front of their houses, and you get, we have a big Filipino community in Porterville, so they have the Simbang Gabi, and so there would be dancers that would represent that tradition. And when I was growing up there, the state hospital was very active. It's now more become a correctional facility, but at the time it was where people with different types of mental disorders and things like that would be housed. And many of my stepmom worked there for many years, and then many people I knew worked there. So it provided a different mix of people there were a lot of agricultural workers, and then the people who owned the farms, and then, like, the state hospital workers. And so Porterville had a very interesting mix. And I think everybody learned from each other, and it really was a great place to grow up.
Yeah, that's awesome to know. I mean, think about it, you know. So we're going to go to December. Nancy, you ready? Because
yeah.
One of the holidays in December, for the month of December, we're going to look at monthly holidays. Nancy,
cool.
It's
Yes.
Bingo month.
Oh. Bingo.
Bingo month. So you know that means that all of us ladies who have lost our muscles and our arms can go bingo.
Oh,
it's
no.
Funny,
not
we're mentioning yet. Bingo tonight because Lynn, who sang with Man Shepherd's Light, she used to run a bingo night at our church every
no.
month.
That's funny because we call it bingo wings when women.
Where did we see that on some TV show?
It was a TV show where one guy on. Anyway, it's
but
about bingo wings is when
bingo
when
wings
you're fat over your arm.
No,
flaps
below,
when you go bingo.
Not over, below your arms. For women, they didn't do men because they never do men. I'm sure men have it too. Bingo
I don't know.
Wings.
Women kind of.
Oh, yeah.
We sag. We sag. I don't know, but we got the saggies.
We got the saggies.
It's
but,
bingo month.
So it's like if you, as a woman, if you go and raise your arm, just go, I got bingo, your underarm
flaps.
Flaps.
It's bingo wings. We call it bingo wings.
Why do we even know this?
I don't know, but I just had to bring that up. But, because Nancy's talking about chickens, come on. So we might as well bring her to the bingo wing. I'm keeping in the chicken spirit of things. But now, wait, keeping in the chicken spirit of things, it is also eggnog month. Okay. So we were just in Natchitoches, Louisiana, where we got eggnog daiquiris, like drive through, and they give
good.
It to you in gallon jugs of eggnog daiquiris.
Wow.
Seriously, drive through.
Never
you
good.
Can order a drive through cocktail. You can get a Jack and Coke, whatever you want, in a drive through, but you can't drink it. How crazy is that?
Yeah, no, there's
Louisiana.
A whole bunch of signs that says do not drink it on the premises.
I know. And I'm seriously.
You
so,
take it home and then.
I'm not a fan. Eggnog, I didn't have it growing up. And then when we got to this
yes,
country,
you
we had
did.
It. And not really. We never had that in South Africa.
Yes, you had it in your baby bottles.
No. Oh, nice. But here, we got here and I had it and I was like, ooh, it's too, and I'm weird about the
it
egg
kept
thing.
You quiet
but,
and sedate.
But sedate. Eggnog daiquiris, I'm a huge fan. It's like ice cream. But you just cannot have that much. You just take a, don't overindulge in the eggnog daiquiri. The little it's rich. It's very rich. Do you drink eggnog?
Yes.
You do?
I do. I really like it with Fireball whiskey.
Cool.
Oh. Oh, hello.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm coming to your house. That might make a
See?
Holy cow. I didn't
know. Now
this of that.
This is now an aficionado. Like,
I didn't expect
That's
that
it.
From you, Johnny.
It gives it a really nice cinnamon, because it goes along with the nutmeg, the cinnamon and the nutmeg, and it's really tasty.
It needs to melt down and
so
permeate.
We should have jacked up the daiquiris even more,
taking
a little bit of Fireball.
People don't understand that you need spices to have time to permeate.
Well, listen, he's talking about Fireball whiskey, though, which goes really well, by the way, for a holiday cocktail. A great holiday cocktail is Fireball whiskey with some apple orchard or apple cider, hard cider, or not Dick Martinelli's. But I didn't just
it's also
it.
Good with Dr. Pepper.
What?
Fireball whiskey and Dr. Pepper,
that.
It's really good. It's really good.
I can see that.
I did not know that
totally,
was a cocktail show.
I
now.
Would
this
probably go there before the other options.
Remember the hot Dr. Pepper they used to advertise?
Yeah. Oh. No, see? Okay.
Is this before my time in this country? probably.
No.
Yeah, well, when in the 60s on TV, Dick Clark used to advertise hot Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And you would heat it up with a stove and drink it
I
hot.
I have such a bad joke about and Dr. Pepper that I cannot tell on the air.
No, and it's like, is it going to blow up or not? You know?
because there's candy. Well,
some people just left it in the can and heated it up. And it's
What about the candies that they you're not able to get that very often? The things, the rockets that pop fizz in your mouth and stuff that they like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're not supposed to have now. They're like, you.
Pop
this
rocks.
Is bad for you. Yeah, come on.
But see, Dr. Pepper.
I know bartenders
people,
that make cocktails with
people
that.
People used to take a can of Dr. Pepper and heat it up on the burners on their stove and wonder why it made a hole through the
Johnny,
roof.
Did this happen? And you did
yes.
this, Johnny.
No, we would. My mom did pour it into a pot and cook it over the stove. You know, heat it over the stove, and then we would drink it hot. But yeah.
Why?
But then other people put the can on the stove.
No, that sounds like the oil burning turkey.
Put a hole through the roof. No.
Okay.
Wow.
All right,
so
I'm gonna go. Okay, you guys, we're gonna get into. Sorry. Okay, it's Safe Toys
Sorry.
And Gifts Month. This would not be. Do not give your kids a can of Dr. Pepper this month.
No. No.
It's also Worldwide Food Service Safety Month. Do not put your Dr. Pepper on the stove. I don't know what kind of soda it is. Do not do it. It's like
or
you know,
any canned product.
Gosh, what the heck, man? Come
See,
on.
You're
All right,
supposed
so
to open the can and put it.
No,
in the
stop, Nancy. We don't want people to do that. No, no.
No, we want them to open the can and put it in a pot.
It is also okay. It is also Art and Architecture Month. I think that is very cool to do in this month because. When it starts to get drab and gray and all of that, go and look at the architecture because even with snow on buildings and there's just,
oh, it's
you
beautiful.
Know, look at the architecture comes through and art brings color to the drab,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think mm-hmm. Art and Architecture Month is fantastic. Nature needs a rest.
Absolutely.
She's taking a break, you know? And she's going to mm-hmm. get us some snow and whatever. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at the architecture of trees. You know, I never looked at architecture. I don't know. As we travel, we look at architecture a lot in different,
mm-hmm.
you know, historic
mm-hmm.
places and everything. But we interviewed a black and white photographer, G.B. Smith. And everyone, if you go to our blendradioandtv.com site, type in G.B. Smith. He's a black and white photographer of architecture. Mm-hmm. And he's a black and white photographer because he's colorblind. And he just really sees architecture in a different way. And it's amazing. His work does show that architecture does mimic nature, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You do not
Absolutely.
Have architecture without nature being part.
Humanity, is copied nature from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
We're done. It's been copied from nature.
But his photography, he's got a new book out called Pathways, and he does a lot of those old jetties, the fishing docks in Maryland and Delaware and those areas, and pathways and bridges,
wow.
and just even some buildings that you would think, oh, it's just another skyscraper. Then when you look at it through a black and white perspective,
mm-hmm.
really changed my perspective on things, like really
wow.
just beautiful.
Well,
so
yeah. I read this article like about 6 months ago, and they were talking about when you look at cities, they're ant colonies, and they when they can't push any further under the ground where ants live, they go up and they move on. And so you get colonies that go up, you get colonies that go sideways. It's about the obstructions that keep you from going further than what your technology at the given moment is.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that later on, 20 years later, technology may have progressed where you can get further. But at the point, animals and people, which were pretty much the same, they do what they do to find their way to the solution of the problem they're trying to solve. That's all they're doing.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they're problem solving. That's all they're doing. And so we push on this way, up, sideways, diagonally. Most animals and people don't. Well, birds think diagonally, but other animals don't.
Well, it's National Cat Lovers Month. So cats have nine lives, so they know how to walk on the tightrope. Just saying.
But we just need to get out of our box of thinking and think new and look at different options. And that's is sometimes easy for some people, not so easy for others.
Well, nature does
absolutely
draw inspiration. I think Frank Lloyd Wright, even when we talk about architecture, he always wanted to blend in with nature as much as possible, even though he had
and he did
lines.
He did most of his work between the in his 80s and 90s. So
that's
it's never too late.
And he was he was crabby. He was a crabby dude, and very much it's my way or the highway. But I'm you know, but he worked with nature, and I think. But it's interesting to me because, like, when I look at African tribes who have huts and Native American tribes, everything is round. To me, that's working with nature because nature understands round. But it's not necessarily true because when you look at leaves and certain things, they are there's octagons, there's hexagons, and
spirals.
Yeah, it is a little bit of everything. So I can't,
but
you know,
still when they fall to the ground, they're round.
Yeah, but not everything. So. Frank Lloyd Wright, I was like, when people talked about him working with nature, I never really saw it, honestly, because I just know nature from the bush side, like actually living in it, you know? So I never really looked at it that way. I'm like, oh, I understand that you're snugging yourself into nature and trying to be part of it, but you still have these really
square corners.
Square corner, yeah, exactly. So to me, it isn't. That's personally. But then when I started looking at G.B. Smith's work, and I started to realize, I'm like, yeah, he's right. And there is the hard lines create the roundness. You can't. It's like the devil and Jesus, right? You know what I mean? We got to put, you know, that great song by Eric Burton, by the way. But if you have to have salt and pepper, you have to have both sides for equilibrium to happen. So it's like kind of if we look at our country being all crazy, well, you know, you're going to have two crazies to make a balance somewhere. Or maybe we can just kind of balance in somewhere. But, it's not going to happen.
I had a friend who said that an airplane needs a left wing and a right wing to fly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's it. So it's not all one or the other. It doesn't work that way.
It's called balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so balance is off or it's in or it's out. And you're trying to get a million plus people, a billion, to balance at the same time. Think about it. And now we're going to talk about plants and animals and everything that's living and breathing balance at the same time.
Well, a seesaw still has to have a straight line, right?
Yes.
The seesaw doesn't exist without the straight line. And so in nature, like if you look at a branch, it's pretty much a straight line sometimes, right? There is this balance. So I think as we go into December and we go towards January where everybody does all the crazy resolutions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say is, like, maybe through this season, we can find that balance of understanding the round and the straight and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make balance.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
you're here.
I mean, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's just kind of that, let's have that balance. And
yes.
Maybe we can find that, because I always, like, always looked at nature this way, and then I found out I was absolutely wrong. So, well, I feel good about that.
Yeah, last month I released Little Bits of Heaven, that song, a song where I think we talked about it on the last show, and it talks about balance and about finding, you know, the taking the good with the bad. So, yep.
We can focus on kindness. And I think things like the holidays remind us to go back to that. I love your gratitude club, because it reminds
Thank
us
you.
Of that. And I need to get back into that. I'm always I'm like, oh, I'm late. You know, but I always get in there, you know. It's I think and everybody, that's the gratitude club on Facebook, Johnny's group. It's awesome. People post their five things they're grateful every day. And I'm telling you, be grateful in your worst days, you need it.
Mm-hmm.
On your worst days, you need it. Trust me.
I find it's especially when I want to remember to be grateful, because it just kind of brings me back around and, you know, helps me with that context of, you know, putting, okay, yes, today's a rough day, but I have so much to be grateful for.
Exactly.
I love it. So, no, Johnny, in closing, what is your favorite holiday meal?
My favorite holiday meal. I guess, you know, we're pretty traditional. My mom used to do both turkey and ham at Christmas and Thanksgiving, both.
Wow.
And so that's just what I kind of grew up with. And so I guess, that it brings back a lot of memories for me. So I'd have to go with that, very traditional.
Awesome. Well, everyone, we're kicking off the music playlist, and it's going to have Melissa Manchester, Johnny Schaefer. We also have Matt White, that Johnny was talking about, and many more that Johnny has contributed to. So thank you, Johnny, for your big list. He's got a big list. So you can basically thank Johnny for the music list that kicks it off for this episode. But Johnny will be on, hopefully, if he stays on after our little crazy conversation today. He'll be on every first Sunday of the month. So we look forward to many more shows with Johnny, and starting kicking off the new year with you. So I think we're going to have to wait. Okay, wait. The baby in the cake, that's going on the playlist. I'm sorry, it's going on. That has to happen, because that is about eating the king cake and biting into the baby. You ate the baby.
Oh,
not the dingo ate the baby. Not that one.
I know.
But isn't that when I mean, it's like Mardi Gras cake too, right? Isn't that when you
bite
the
exactly.
baby?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's historic.
Yeah, in Mexico, it's if you get the baby.
Yeah.
In your piece of cake, then you have to make the tamales for the Dia de la Candelaria celebration on February 2nd.
Oh,
and so my song "Baby in the Cake" is about this guy who's afraid he's going to get the baby in the cake, because then he has to make a bunch of tamales, and he doesn't know how to make tamales. So that's so that's kind of the conceit of that
you
song.
You just keep poking your finger in the cake so you don't go there.
Now, do you like tamales? Do you like tamales?
I love tamales, yes.
Oh, they're awesome.
Favorite filling. What's your favorite filling?
I actually like I like savory, so I like them like with chicken and green, like salsa verde, like green chili.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You know what? It's good to have tamales over the holiday season. It's a big deal. It's a big tradition. and
They're
cooking
yummy.
them. That's a huge thing, from cornhusks and steaming them. And it's such
Mm-hmm.
a, it's, it, it, that's a big tradition through California, the Southwest, and
They're
Mexico,
yummy.
obviously, right? You know,
Yeah, our
so very
band, our high school band, used to do a big fundraiser making tamales, and the whole, all the band kids and parents used to come together, and for like 4 or 5 hours, they would make thousands of tamales and then sell them all over town. It was a big tradition.
That's
Yeah. well, isn't
that's
that a fun?
awesome.
I think a lot of communities do that, use it as a fundraiser, right? In the holidays. Yeah, it's kind of like Girl Scout cookies,
Awesome.
but on a way bigger level, in a way. You know what I mean? Yeah, because
Yeah.
cooking them is a huge, huge deal. Like, it is, and it's
That's
good. It's
awesome.
good. I like it. I like it. Oh golly looky. I want to hear about that.
That is
Oh
a song
golly.
about a kid he's afraid that Santa Claus overlooked him. And
Oh
so he's
no.
singing, he's jealous about his brother and sister getting presents. And then I used you remember the movie Little Shop of Horrors, or the musical, either the play or the movie? They have the backup singers do this kind of snarky commentary through music, like it's 50s rock and roll style music, and they do this commentary on what's going on. So I had these three fantastic backup singers that came in and kind of vamped and did a bunch of comedy in the song. So they're kind of making fun of the kid, and his obsession with did Santa get me anything? And so it's a pretty fun kind of rock and roll Christmas song.
Oh, I like
Cool.
that. I like that. And then you also talked about your dad's favorite carol, which is "Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella." And you sent me a message saying that you're getting like tons of views year round on this on YouTube.
Yes, that particular video, it's a lyric video, and for whatever reason, all year long, every day I get at least 20 views and sometimes hundreds of views, even in the summertime, in the springtime. That one video it's actually my most watched video consistently, like no matter what time of year. I don't know what
See,
it is
it's like
about
the
that song, but it didn't.
chestnuts in summer. See, here it is.
I didn't realize so many people loved, that particular song. So,
Well, you know, that's awesome. I mean, so
yeah.
this is so cool that people and everyone, this is all going to be up and linked from the show notes as usual. But you know, Christmas is a magical feeling, and I think it kind of goes back to our childhood excitement, you know. And Hanukkah, I know it's not as exciting, but you do get latkes, and those are good, and
Well,
they
no,
are
baby.
yummy.
Nature says you need to take a time of rest, and animals do it every like 2 hours. They take 15 minutes. Humans don't.
But it's
No,
fun. I'm
we're
talking
out
about
of
it's the inner
okay.
joy of
I
fun.
know, but the time of rest is where you can access inner joy. You can't do it while you're working. Think
I
about
don't
it.
know. I have joy when I'm working. I like what I
I
do.
know, but okay, but that's
Sorry,
because
I
you
like what
don't,
I do. I
that's
think Johnny
because,
gets joy in his singing, so I mean
no,
it's like
because you don't have a boss,
that's
right?
right.
I do think that you can try to bring joy into whatever you do. It's kind of the mindset,
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it can really change how you experience it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think
I
it is
agree.
about your
But
attitude and
how many people do that or know how to do that or
right. Go to
access
Johnny's
that
Facebook group.
ability?
Go to Johnny's Gratitude Facebook group. Are you going to have a good time this holiday season, Johnny? I know you are.
Oh yeah, I'm a Christmas guy, so I always we and we already we've had our tree up for 2 weeks already.
Already? Really? Really? So you don't wait till
Yeah.
after
That's
Thanksgiving, you
awesome.
do it before?
What's up with the
No,
tree?
I like to have it up during Thanksgiving, so yeah, we always put it up
So
early.
what
Oh, do you do outside
one of the
lights?
Do you do outside stuff? Or is it
We we when we had a house, we did. Now we're in an apartment, so we do have a light up Rudolph and a light up wreath outside our door. But
okay.
That's really
cute.
all we can do here. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's cute though. So, that's cute.
What kind of ornaments do you put on your tree? What do you choose?
That's what you're saying. You have
for
like different
ornaments. I actually buy a few every year. My I was a Christmas baby. I was born December 21st. So someone bought my parents a little angel ornament, and I came home on Christmas Day. And my parents, I was a baby, but they kind of have me, you know, helped me put it on the tree. So every year, that is the first ornament on the tree. And then I have all these other ornaments that I collect through the years, and they bring back memories of all these different. Mm. I remember when I bought that one. I bought that one up at Big Bear, and I bought this one in Solvang, and I bought that one in Europe, and so.
P.C. Anderson.
The Christmas.
Sorry,
what
you said Solvang.
Oh, that's awesome.
You said Solvang,
that's
and for some reason my mind went to Pea Soup Anderson's. Do you guys remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Good
Johnny,
choice.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
It has been so much
thank
fun.
You.
I think we're going to have a part one and part two of this show because we've gone over time like it's crazy. What were we thinking of, you know? It always goes that way. But go to hearjohnny.com and his YouTube channel, too. And then most importantly, buy his music. Don't just stream it. Buy it.
That'd be awesome.
Musicians need that support.
Yeah, you can get there's a Christmas ornament that goes with my Christmas album on my website.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, so people can get that on your website, right?
They can, yep. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Here,
and you can actually set your own, price. So you go on and you just pay what you think what you think it's worth. So I trust you.
Wow. So. Well, you guys are nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
go ahead.
No, go ahead. You
go
were
ahead.
Saying that this before. You
oh, well, I, Jane Sibbery, suggested that to me. You know, she's a, a really great singer-songwriter. And, and I've actually found that people often pay more than I would have charged for it. Like they'll throw in an extra $5 or whatever. And, so it's worked out. And, you know, people don't have a lot of money and, you know, I mean, they can stream it. So at least if they're going to my website to pay something, I appreciate it because it's really hard to make money at this music stuff. And so, so I appreciate what people feel they can afford.
Yeah. No.
But that's a human to human connection. I love that.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, because I think it just, you want that connection unless you're outperforming. It's so hard if you're not performing live every, night, for people to connect. And so that's a beautiful way, Johnny. And I love that you're including an ornament too. That's something special as well. So everyone hearjohnny.com and keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And part two will be Chef Ivan Flowers on our next segment. So just keep streaming and you'll find us. Thank you, Johnny, and happy holidays. Happy
thank you.
Christmas.
You too.
And we'll be chatting with you in the new year.
Great. Looking forward to it. Same to you.
Okay, so now it is part two of our big weekly blend show, and we're going to eat, drink, and be merry with Chef Ivan Flowers. Ivan is a 5-star chef. He's also a culinary instructor, and he teaches teens in Temecula how to cook, which is always exciting because I think this is a life skill all kids need to learn, and so do we, as many adults do, right? Chef Ivan, how are you?
Good, Lisa, I'm good. It's good to be with you.
Hey, you know what? We're excited about this because you've got a great recipe of baby pears dipped in ganache, right? And so this show airs on December 3rd, and we talk about the holidays of the month and everything for December. And apparently it is Pear Month, National Pear Month, and it is World Pear Day. So, like, you know, you knew what was happening, didn't you? You were prepared for the pear.
I was prepared. Very good. Yes.
That was good. That just flew out of my mouth too. That's weird.
That's very good.
That was good. That was good. But baby pears, where do you get baby pears?
Counselor teacher up in Temecula who has very large property, and she has these pear trees, and they're baby pears. So she gave me, I sent some students over, excuse me, to pick them. So I was inundated with all these little baby pears. So the first thing I thought, and they're really sweet, really nice. They have a stem on them. And the first thing I thought about was dip them in ganache, you know? And they just, between the ganache and the sweetness of the pear and the velvetiness of the chocolate and the cream, boy, did it work.
So this is interesting because you're not going to cook the pears because they're babies. You don't. Okay. Now the ganache, let's talk about ganache because it's a little bit more than chocolate, right? It's a little bit more than, you put cream and chocolate chips melted together.
Right. Exactly. And people, you know, they get like really weird. How can I make this? They make it a lot in their head. They make it more difficult than they think. Basically, you're using a one-to-one. I use the semi-sweet chocolate. And you use one-to-one ratio. It's very, very simple. You can either use chocolate chips, or if you have the bar, you take a chef's knife and you kind of just, you know, slice it up, crumble it up. You bring the cream to a simmer. You pour the hot cream over the chocolate. And at first, when you mix it, you don't think anything is going to happen because it kind of doesn't, nothing happens for a few minutes, for 1 or 2 minutes. And then it starts to come together. And you get this beautiful, shiny, gorgeous chocolate. And you simply just dip. And you can dip a lot of things into ganache. I did pears. I've done it with Doritos and Cheetos. With students where we had a lot of fun, strawberries, green beans, you know, cookies. So it's
bacon.
Very, very, very simple. Bacon, absolutely bacon.
Bacon, pretzels.
Absolutely.
I like the pretzels.
Pretzels, bacon, yes. Wonderful on bacon. And then you finish with a little French sea salt.
Oh, I like that. Now, can we spike the ganache with some sea salt caramel bourbon?
Yes. Absolutely.
Ooh. But
absolutely.
You do it like at the end. You don't want to put it at the beginning. You want to do it at the end.
No.
Because of the
when
cream.
When it comes together, yes. Let it come together and then put a little bit in and then taste that. Because you don't want to water it out too much. Because you want it to be able to coat. So if you're going to add a little extra liquid to it, you'd go with a little more chocolate.
So we have these dried mushrooms from Melissa's Produce. They're like chanterelles, morels, all of these dried, you know. And we were going to make this sauce because we did crepes with mushrooms and a mushroom sauce. And they said, okay, you could cook the mushrooms in red wine, but you need to deglaze the wine. And we both looked at each other and went, okay, where's Chef Ivan? What the heck do we, are we boiling the wine? What are we doing? And then we thought, we're not wasting our wine until we talk to you. So no wine went into our mushrooms, but they were good. Oh my God, these mushrooms.
Yeah.
And we've got crimini, shiitakes. We still have some. So, you have to let them be moist. Everyone's favorite word. You've got to soak them for a while, like 20 minutes or something. In hot water, and then you can
rehydrate them.
We rehydrated them, but they seem to, when they are dried, I don't know if they just soak up the flavor more because of the rehydrating them kind of process.
They're very intense. Yeah, they're very intense. I like to use them, like when I do my lobster bisque, I put it in a dried I think a porcini or. Yeah, it's been a while. I put it into the stock. Yeah, and it puts out such an incredible flavor, you know, because when they dry them, they concentrate them, they dehydrate them down, and they get intense. So they're wonderful to work with.
We did. We went to a friend's house and we put them in. She was doing slow roasted short ribs, and she did it in red wine. And
yes.
So, and it was, it turned out really good. So we just threw the mushrooms in, and it was this earthiness
absolutely.
Came into it. But she did it in red wine and other things. But
it's so funny you say that. That's what I'm making tonight for tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm doing short ribs. Yeah, they're in the oven as we speak.
Oh, she did it in a slow cooker thing, and by the time we put the mushrooms in, the sauce just thickened. When we first got there, it was like juice, and then it just thickened, and those mushrooms were like perfect. We put it with some mashed potatoes, and we had some really good wine from LDV Winery. Oh, red wine! It was a feast. It was a little feast that none of us could finish. But short ribs, I'm not a huge rib person. I've never cooked them, but they just fell off the bone and they were good. That's a good Christmas meal, isn't it?
Oh yeah. The trick is you always make them the day before. You don't want to make them the day of and then eat them. You want to make them the day before.
Oh.
Keep them in the sauce, chill them down, and then the next day bring it back on the heat or as many as you want. And when it sits overnight in that braising liquid, it becomes very, very intense.
Okay,
you always want to do braised dishes the day before.
Huh, I didn't know that. Now, what about this deglazing thing? What are we doing with our wine? Are we ruining it? What is
well,
that?
Well, like with short ribs, what you're going to do, you know, there's a technique. Basically, you make a mirepoix, celery, onions, and carrots. You sweat it out. You add tomato paste to it, which is called pince. And that sweetness of the tomato paste kind of just balances the dish. And just as you cook all that tomato paste out, then you put in, you deglaze, because you're going to have a fond on the bottom of the pan. Some of those vegetables and that tomato paste builds up on the bottom, and you deglaze with a good red wine. And then you take that down by half until it thickens. Then you go in with stock. Then you go in with an herb bundle. You put your meat in, cover it, and go into an oven for about 3.5 to 4 hours at 300.
Oh.
That's braising. Yummy. That's true braising. Oh, it's delicious.
That sounds like really good, you know, winter food. You know, we're getting into
and
that
it's
season.
Simple.
Yeah, we want comfort food. We want that kind of comfort goodness. And I want to go back to what you're doing with the ganache, because, you know, as soon as you hear a word like ganache, you're like, holy crap, I can't do that.
Right.
It's But
So
with this, so you had baby pears. So you're using what is available. So, like, you know, could we just take apples, slice them, then dip them and eat them? Or
of
anything?
Course. Absolutely.
Any fruit?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we could take bigger pears, because not everyone gets baby pears, but this is so, and they're so cute. You know, you want to give them little faces and say hi to them.
I know. They have that beautiful shine on them, that little stem. They're wonderful.
They remind me of crab apples in a weird way.
Yes. You know? They look like crab apples. Yes.
But those are a little tart. And you don't want to do too much with crab apples.
No.
Those are for cooking.
No. You want to go, you know, a little sweet, but tart works too. It's, you know, whatever you like.
Yeah, I think that's the fun thing. I think you always bring recipes that can be completely modified according to what you have, you know, and what you like. So this is something fun for the kids. So for the holiday season, ganache is something that kids can get into and be part of the celebration for the table, whether it's pretzels or pears or, you know.
Yes. And remember, you can make truffles out of them, chocolate truffles. That's what they're made from ganache. And what you want to do, the ratio, is basically you're going to do 8 ounces of chocolate to 2/3 of a cup of cream. Then you put that in the refrigerator and it gets hard. You then take a little ice cream scooper and you scoop them. You can roll them in nuts. You can roll them in sprinkles. There's a variety of things that you can roll them in. And you have little rolled chocolate truffles, which are fabulous.
Ooh. Cocoa.
As a Maillardee.
They do that powdered cocoa. Ooh.
They do cocoa. Yeah. You know what? I don't do the cocoa because it gets a little messy. You know, it kind of makes it a little messy. I just kind of go into like a draze chopped pistachio, or if you want to do sprinkles, or coconut, or different things. Oh. If you want to put a little togarashi, Japanese peppers, and have a little fun and, you know, light them up a little bit. But they're so easy to make. And people get so nervous when they hear ganache. And it's just like when somebody shows you, you actually go, that's it. Yeah, okay. That's it.
So when you're making the ganache, you've got the sweet, and everyone, the recipe is linked in the show notes. It's right on the homepage of blendradioandtv.com, or go into the cooking section on the site, or type in ganache, because I think this is the only ganache recipe we have, because we've all been so scared. But can we add some chili powder to the chocolate when you're putting it in with the cream?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes. Sure you can.
Oh.
Absolutely, okay. You can.
Ooh,
you could
so
add
you
a touch of vanilla. You could add,
ooh,
yeah,
ooh.
Of course. Remember, you
coffee.
Control the food. You know, I was just going to say, definitely coffee. Coffee and chocolate, when they come together, are wonderful. A little bit of espresso. You know, some people will actually roll it in a little bit of brewed coffee.
Mm. Well, the other thing is, this is the gift giving season, right? And this is something like a kid could go and like, I'm going to take pretzels and do this and wrap it in a nice bow or something, right? Or cookies and, you know, do something. I think there's something special about a homemade gift. And especially if you're on a budget, it's a way of like, hey, I'm putting some effort in. It's something from me to you. But what about like doing something, you know, number one, this could be Christmas Day. This could be Hanukkah. This could be Kwanzaa. This could be New Year's Eve delights, right? But if you're rolling them into little truffle balls, you could make like a jar of truffles for friends. You could go to town on what you're dipping in according to what you're, you know, who you're gifting, if they like specific things, you know?
Yeah. The flavors are endless. And also the presentation is gorgeous. You know, if you do all different toppings and stuff and lay them in a little box, people go crazy for this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's cool. And
think
you
about
know what
a
we were
peanut
talking about
butter
bacon?
Stuffed pretzel. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Peanut butter stuffed pretzel. Mm-hmm.
In ganache. I mean, you're there. That's the ultimate.
Oh, wow. And candy canes. It's National Candy Cane Day on December 26th.
Oh, wow.
But I do believe one of the days, I think it's the 30th, is Bacon Day. So I'm thinking that's we could be doing that. But you could take so many different things. This is fun to do, but the candy canes would be, you'd almost be making your own bark that way.
Yes.
By dipping it in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I like this. And okay, now have you ever gotten into gingerbread making? Because I know that happens this year.
I don't do a lot of gingerbread, you know, or ginger houses. Or you know, tell you the truth, I'm not a big fan of ginger.
Even cooking-wise?
Yeah.
I
use it in certain sauces and stuff, you know, sparingly. Moroccan chicken and different things. Or if you do, what's the famous dish, the meat dish that uses ginger? Escaping me. Calabrotten. But other than that, I'm light on ginger.
Hmm. So, okay. December 5th apparently is National Comfort Food Day. What would you say is the ultimate?
For comfort food?
Mm-hmm.
Just what we were talking about. Something braised, like a short rib or a good beef chuck, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours. With a really good garlic mascarpone herb mashed potato. And I would do probably a little sauteed broccolini with a little lemon and parmesan. And then take that jus that it was cooked in with the vegetables. And you go into a blender and you blend it. And you add a little bit of butter and a little bit of olive oil. And some sherry vinegar. And make a really, really nice top sauce to put on top. And then you sprinkle a little pecorino romano. Or a little horseradish, just to wake it up.
Oh,
that's comfort.
What's up with this horseradish sauce that's with ranch or something? And we had this in a restaurant.
Yeah, good.
Oh,
it's good.
You could put anything fried and put that in. Ooh, onion rings, you know, French fries. I don't care what it is. It's really, really good. And since we talked to you, we've been in Louisiana. in. They know how to fry food. They have meat pies in Natchitoches, Louisiana. They're like little meat pies, but they're pepper meat pies. Like they're peppery.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a Cornish pasty in England, but it's like an empanada. And they're so, so good.
Yeah.
But we were, Nancy had her, the best Reuben she's ever had in her life. And she's the Reuben queen. Her best. Mm. Like, I think a good Reuben on a winter day is a good thing.
Any day. A good Reuben any day is good. You know? I mean, you can do a corned beef Reuben. You can do a pastrami Reuben.
And it's something you can do at home that people always think go to the deli for. But we used to, you know, we would do it with corned beef. You know, people do that on, you know, St. Patty's Day and stuff. But we used to do corned beef as our Christmas roast was corned beef. And Nancy would put like bacon in stages or roasted in stages and then put whiskey at the end, like bourbon or sherry or, you know, and put cloves in it, stick it with cloves and then smother it with dark mustard, like a really good dark mustard. And from there, like the leftovers we made into Reubens with good sauerkraut. You've got to get the right rye bread. Do not skimp on the rye bread. The rye bread is key. Marble is really good. Why is that? I don't know, but it is. And you've got a good Thousand Island dressing. You can't not have the Thousand Island. It has
and
to have
Swiss. Oh, yeah. It's magical.
The Swiss or provolone. Yeah, Swiss or provolone for us. That's what we would do. But a good Reuben, like, I think we get so stuck with, I mean, turkey after turkey after turkey. I think we should, you know, change it up a bit for the Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
You know? Do the ribs that you're talking about, too.
Yeah. A lot of people would agree with you. Turkey, I think people get a little bored with turkey. So, like, for Thanksgiving, it's good. I wouldn't do a turkey for Christmas. I would do, like, a ham. I would do a prime rib. Mm. Or even vegetarian. It depends what you want. You know, turkey can only kind of take so far.
But there's a lot you can do with vegetables too. That you can really have a good vegetarian spread, and we've talked about that before. Cheese boards, kinds of good things. And Hanukkah is upon us. It's coming up in a few days here. From I think the 7th it starts. And Hanukkah, I think there's good food because again, like we got latkes. Like, do you like latkes?
I love latkes. I started making latkes with my grandmother when I was very young. And when they're done, you know, latke is, you know, you're going to shred potatoes. You're going to take the excess water out. You put an egg, you put in flour or cornstarch, salt, pepper, different things. What I do is I put boursin or alouette, which is a soft herb French cheese. And I mix that into the latke. And then you go kind of not too thin, not too thick. And you get them beautifully golden brown. And when I was in certain restaurants, we would serve them, if we wanted to elevate them, with creme fraiche and back in the day, beluga caviar, which was just, you know, just fabulous. Wow. Or shallot confire, which is cooked in vinegar and sugar and a touch of raspberry. I mean, a good latke is like to die for.
Some people put applesauce with their latkes, so like
applesauce or sour cream. Yeah,
Nancy would make them for breakfast and roast them instead of fry them. Is that okay? Roast them?
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can bake them in a hot oven. Yeah.
And then you could sometimes we'd grate carrot in there just to give it a little healthy kick color. You can add things. She would do onions, like red onion, like, you know, because it's once things are grated. Like, why not just put it all in there? Let it. And I want garlic in everything. I want garlic in it for sure. And on December 6th, it is National Gazpacho Day. So I think that's interesting since that's a cooler soup for, you know, the holiday season. But then it's red, right? Gazpacho is red, so it's a nice color.
Well, you know, it depends what you're putting in it. You know, the trick with gazpacho is anytime I used to make gazpacho, if I served it in a shot glass or in a bowl, I use it in the spoon. I always made sure they were in the freezer. They were super, super, super ice cold. And I put just enough tomato, just just enough cucumber, you know, balance it out where...
Refreshing.
You know, it's got to be refreshing. Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, ah. And of course you can make it, I like to make it a little spicy.
I like spice. Listen, Louisiana, man, they do not mess around with their spice. It's there. It is.
Yeah, it's there.
Hello. Welcome and to Louisiana.
Yeah,
you're going to wake up and you're going to feel good.
Yeah, I just did Cajun blackened fish last week with the students. You know, with the clarified butter and the very, very hot. They were, you know, it was different for them. It's, you know, it's an acquired taste because really you're putting on, you know, a lot of spice, and clarified butter you can take up to 450 degrees. So you're kind of like burning the spice. It's blackened. I mean, it's kind of burnt into the fish. So it's an acquired taste. But they liked it.
Well, that's cool that they like it, and you know, you go for it, and because fish can be interesting, and fish, I think some people cook fish like Christmas Eve is like a tradition, isn't it? Is it?
Oh Christmas yeah, the Feast of the Seven Fishes. Yeah, I love the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Do you have seven different fishes, like literally, or
yes.
is it
everything from shellfish to finfish? Oh yeah, it's seven fish. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
When, you know, Nancy and I are allergic to fish, but when we're in Louisiana, which is, you know, you're in Louisiana and everything is fish. And I love it because, the state, pays the restaurants like a little kickback for using local seafood, which I think is fantastic. They do it for festivals for local musicians and keeping things local, but, they made these baked potatoes in this one restaurant, Merci Beaucoup. So it's more of a French style restaurant. That's where Nancy got her really good Reuben. They took these huge baked potatoes and then they put etouffee, if I'm pronouncing that right, and then these giant shrimp on top. I don't know if it's a crawfish or shrimp. It's like a big curly whirly at the top that was fried. And this was the deal for people. This was a huge deal. This baked potato with etouffee, whatever etouffee is. So that might be an interesting Christmas thing.
I remember I was in New Orleans years ago. There was a restaurant, Stella's, Chef Bowman, who did tempura fried jellyfish. It was, I can't even explain it.
Well, they can fry anything in Louisiana. Seriously.
Yes, they can.
And, you know, we went, there was this in Natchitoches, there's a French Market Express one night, and it's a gas station diner, and they have a gas station food trail. And literally, you get po' boys, boudin, if you're in South Louisiana. And all, boudin is like a French thing, you know, with rice. And they did hogshead cheese, and they got us to eat hogshead cheese. I did it.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
But
I love head cheese.
Oh. Yeah, well, no. You go to Louisiana with us next time and take care of that.
Yes.
But we did it. But you must try what you can, you know. And the fried food, I remember that one night we'd done back in our live radio show days, we used to be on those and when we did them. And we'd done a show and it was like 8-9 o'clock at night. And it's a gas station by the hotels. And it's smart. And they just doubled their gas. I mean, these people you sometimes can't even get into the store. The lines are so big.
You can't even get in. Yeah, of course.
They are known for yam cake. And then their fried food. You can go in, you can buy wine. And that's what, of course, we did. You can sit in the middle amongst all the groceries and eat. It's funny. But you go in.
I love it.
And we hadn't had half of these fried things. And the guy behind the counter is like, have you had this? Well, then you need to try it. We walked out with this pile of fried food, and Nancy and I looked, I mean, really naughty girls, but they have drive-through daiquiris in Louisiana. Seriously. So we had this eggnog daiquiri, and it's eggnog month, by the way. And so we had eggnog daiquiris, and it's been written about in the New York Times and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is probably the only way I'm going to drink eggnog. Do you drink eggnog? Because that can be weird if you don't know who's making it. With the eggs okay? You know?
I'm not a big eggnog guy. I'm not a big egg. To me, it's like a sip is enough for me. It's very rich.
Yeah, it got too much. But then we kept going, let's have some more. And then I realized, no, you don't want to do that again. But speaking of sweet, December 7th is National Cotton Candy Day. And in England, they call it fairy floss. We used to call it candy floss in South Africa. Cotton candy. Yeah. Now, I've been in restaurants where they do stuff with that. Have you ever made it?
Yes. Many years ago, we bought the machine. We bought everything. And it goes around and it shreds little threads and it comes like it creates. And it's very sweet. You know, and you pour everything in and the machine does it and it looks beautiful on the plate, you know, but to me it was like very sweet.
It melts so quickly.
I liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're heating up the sugar really fast and spinning it.
Yes.
You're really, it's cool. Oh, you were talking about chocolates. National Box of Chocolates Day is December 28th. Mm. We've got National Pepper Day. What's a pepper pot? Like the actual pepper?
Sure.
Also have Baking Soda Day, Bicarbonate of Soda Day. Listen, things are important. That's important. You know, that's December 30th, just in case. 31st, and I think you're going to like this one, other than it's National Champagne Day. We like that. Obviously, it's New Year's Eve, but it's National Vinegar Day. Now, the world of vinegars. This is something we should probably embrace more into our lives, right? As using balsamics, but also trying different vinegars for different things. Even baking, I know people use vinegar.
Oh, for sure. You know, people really, really miss the boat when they don't learn how to cook with vinegar. With all the different vinegars out there and the acidity, which is not that high. People think it's a lot higher than it is. And you balance it out with something a little sweet, which is a gastric. Learning to work with vinegars in sauces, in glazes, is one of the best things you can do cooking. Mm. Same thing like with mustards. People kind of miss the boat on that.
Doesn't mustard have vinegar in it? Like, isn't it mixed?
Yes.
Like, they crush the actual mustard pod things and then mix it with vinegar. And then I don't know what makes it a dark mustard. What I don't know if that's just the plant.
All the different seeds, you know, how it's, I mean, one of my favorite things is I do a Costa Rican swordfish, and I simply take a little sugar-free orange marmalade with mustard and vinegar, and I just mix it up. I put it on the swordfish. I roast it in the oven, and it comes out a little bit of breadcrumbs, a little Japanese panko on top, and it's just like, oh, boom, bang, you know?
Now, malt vinegar, I grew up with that in England and South Africa on chips, which is like a fat French fry. And there's there's sloppy chips, as we'd call them, which were like thin, would be like French fries, thin but sloppy. So there's a mushiness to it. And that's a whole other texture and it's good. But actual chips, like if you make those thick, it's like steak fries, basically.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh.
There's nothing better than fish and chips. Oh. With malt vinegar. I mean, when it's done well, oh, my God. When I was in England, I remember I went to a really good fish and chip place, and it was like, oh my God.
It's awesome. I mean, really, malt vinegar is, and apple cider vinegar is really good for our bodies if you get the one with the actual, like, good stuff, like the organic. I don't know, because Bragg's is being sold out to somebody. I don't know what's going on with that. Katy Perry owns it, apparently, or is invested in it, and so is Bill Gates. I don't know about what's going on with that, because now I'm getting weird about, you know, you have to read up on stuff you're buying. But apple cider vinegar is really good for even cleaning, for refreshing a room, air freshener wise. Mm-hmm. It's like apple cider vinegar is like the goodness of goodness. And you can cook with it. And I think that's the one that people bake with, I think, is apple cider. I'm not sure.
Yes.
It's good. Yes. It's good. Yes. Okay. So we got vinegar, believe it or not. I didn't know we were going to talk about that for December. But, there's all kinds of, like, National Date Nut Bread Day. That's good.
Yeah.
Dates are good. I don't know how to pronounce this. Pfeffernuss Day? Pfeffernuss? I don't know what that is, but it sounds baked or something. Eggnog Day. Pumpkin Pie Day. National Kiss the Cook Day. So that's a day for you and Tracy.
there you go.
National Fruit Cake Day. And I think it's Fruitcake Month. So that's always the fruitcake. Yay. National French Fried Shrimp Day of December 21st. There you go. There's Sangria Day, Hard Candy Day. Oatmeal Muffin Day.
There's a day for everything.
No kidding. National Roast Suckling Pig Day.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Who's going to do that in their backyard in Hawaii? Hawaii, they might do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah, I just, yeah, can't do it.
I can't. I know. It. No, because it's a baby.
Yeah,
National Maple Syrup Day. That's a big deal to actually get real maple syrup, the real stuff. Maple syrup.
The real
some
stuff
of them
compared
smoke it.
To,
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, once you've had the real stuff, yeah, you can't go back.
I remember getting some from a guy in Vermont, and he was just even doing his own labels. And he was just, he's on the Food Network and everything, but he was like a for real cottage industry with his maple syrup. And Nancy and I, it was, no, there's not, you put it on French toast, you put it on waffle, I don't care. Cook with it. Cook with maple syrup too. Ooh, could you put maple syrup and vinegar together?
A lot of people, when they do a ham, Lisa, they do a smoked ham. So they buy the ham smoked, and it's got huge amounts of sodium for 4 ounces. If you buy a fresh ham, which is the leg of the pork, okay, it's fresh. You take maple, good Vermont maple syrup. That's your sweetness. You put in really, really good apple cider vinegar, and you put in garlic and orange juice and some herbs, and you reduce it to a syrup. And you have a glaze on that ham that when it cooks in the oven, it candies the outside of the ham. And it's the most incredible thing, and because of the maple and the vinegar working together. It's the way to go.
Oh, I'm liking that. Oh, and then just imagine what you can do with it as leftovers, too. I bet you it gets intense.
Right?
That's
good.
Yeah. That's. I want to bring out the mustard now. Who cut the mustard?
Yeah.
The same person who cut the cheese. No.
Right.
Okay. So, all right. So there's National, I never say this right, Chef Ivan. I know you're going to know how to do it. National Bouillabaisse Day.
Bouillabaisse. Yeah.
Bouillabaisse. So it's bouillabaisse.
Yeah.
Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse.
What is that?
Yeah. It's like a chipino. It's a fish stew with saffron. And when it's done correctly, it's wonderful. It's very balanced. It's you eat it with crusty bread and a good white wine. It's and a lot of times they put small whole fish in. And it's just it's to die for.
No, that's because I remember you coming on the show this was years ago. I think it was even when you and Tracy lived up in Arizona and you did this recipe and you had the whole fish on the plate. And I remember getting emails about this, like, he put the whole fish, like with the face. And I'm like, and you're like, that's how it's done. So when you're talking about whole fish inside this bouillabaisse, are you putting like sardines and that kind of like little fishies or like the whole thing?
Yes, you put in Roger, you put in sardines, you put in small little fish. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I just did a lecture with the students last week. How do you know if fish is fresh? You buy it whole. Well, how can you tell? Well, are the eyes bright? Are the gills super red? When you press the skin, does it bounce back? Or make sure none of the scales are coming off. It smells like cucumber. It smells like the sea. It's fresh. Most of my career, I used fresh fish. It's the only way I knew that it was fresh.
Do they get slimy? Like if it's not?
Yes. You know how vegetables the skin will get slimy. The eyes will get foggy. And the gills will get become brown. And you don't want to touch it at that point.
Is that why a lot of people smoke them? Like smoke fish as a way of preserving them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I love a good smoked fish.
So
like
when you
sturgeon, salmon.
So is that smoked, so it's preserved, and then you could put it in a sauce or something like this?
Yes, and then you can also do a cold smoke. Bacon is cold smoke. Salmon, lox is cold smoke. We're just infusing the smoke and not cooking the fish. Or you can do gravlax, where you're salting the fish with brown sugar and salt, and you're curing it, and then you're cutting it paper thin with cream cheese on a bagel with a touch of lemon.
Oh, speaking of that, it's National Lemon Cupcake Day on December 15th. And you mentioned bagels. December 11th is National Have a Bagel Day. Now let's talk about bagels, because you lived in New York City for a while, right?
Yes.
And you know that there's bagels and then there's bagels.
Yes.
There's the BS bagel and the real bagel.
Right? Yes.
Tell everybody how to find a good bagel. Can you make your own? Can a home cook?
Yes, it's funny that you said that, because about a month ago I did bagels with my students. And I was hesitant because I had never made a bagel before. So I said, you know, so Tracy found me a really good recipe. I said, am I going to be able to do this? They came out like some of the best bagels I'd ever had in New York. I was amazed and they're not hard. It's not hard to do. You boil it for 45
seconds.
You really
do boil bagels in water.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You put them in boiling water. Yes. You make the dough. You let it sit overnight. You form the bagel. You put it in the boiling water with some places do a sugary malt. I did some brown sugar. And then you put it in the oven. You put whatever toppings you want. And it is remarkable the way they come out.
So is that what gives you that, the sugar is what does that actually?
The chew.
The chew and the crust. It's like the
it
actual
gives you
crust.
The chew and the crust. Yep. That's
so when
what
you
a
take
great
it out, it's like that's the crust, and so you're not baking it ever. It is all boiled. No baking?
You boil it, and then you bake it.
Okay, you do bake it.
Huh,
this is so cool. Now, Reuben on bagel, you do rye bagels? Oh,
sure.
Man.
You use rye flour, sure.
I've worked
whole
in a
wheat
bagel.
Bagels.
My first job in this country was working in a bagel. A deli in Florida.
Good for you.
And I had all these New Yorkers come in and ask for a pastrami on a bagel. I thought they were donuts. I had no clue. And you know New Yorkers when they want their stuff, right? And
yes,
I don't.
Yes, yes.
Man, did I have to learn how to move in that deli? It was a food court in a mall, and they taught me pretty darn quickly, because I wasn't going to make it if I didn't learn fast what all these things were.
Sense of urgency. Yes.
It's the pumpernickel the pumpernickel bagels. That's what was
with
my
molasses. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
So funny.
That does it.
Yeah, Trace and I were just talking about molasses and pumpernickel bread the other night. Yeah.
So that's what the marble rye is rye with the pumpernickel molasses-y.
Why
it's
the
so
swirl.
Good, because we love the swirl. Don't we always love a good swirl, whether it's ice cream or cake? Everybody wants a marble. Okay, so National Pastry Day is December 9th. Now, pastries do not have to always be sweet. They can be savory, and we like a good savory pastry, like we're talking meat pies. National Lager Day, December 10th. Do you like a good lager?
I do.
Yeah. And what would you pair it with? Just thinking festive time. Nice. I'm going to those pretzels.
I would...
Pretzels.
You know what? A very thinly sliced roast beef sandwich on a French baguette with Munster cheese, red onion, and Russian dressing.
Oh.
With an ice cold lager and a little bit of lemon in it works for me.
So Russian dressing is the red dressing, not the Thousand Island.
You know what Russian dressing is in New York? Ketchup, mayonnaise, and cut up pickle.
Oh,
Thousand Island, yeah. That's Russian dressing.
Okay.
Why
so
they call it
I'm
Russian dressing, I don't know.
Why do they? What's that red stuff you see in the markets? The Russian, it's red, and it doesn't look. Well, I suppose that is what you're saying. Yeah, we don't know what's in the mystery bottle, but it's also National Brownie Day on December 8th. If you want to be happy, and listen, the best brownies have red wine in them. Just saying.
Yeah.
National Biscuits and Gravy Day is December 14th. Biscuits and gravy, that can be a little bit on the waistline with the sausage and good gravy has sausage, right? That pepper.
If you're doing it with biscuits, they'll do it with sausage.
Okay, so while we were in Louisiana, we had biscuits for breakfast at our friend's place, but our other friend Eva made pear honey, and speaking of pears. So we got a recipe, and she got a different recipe, and she did both, because she goes out to farms and gets her produce, and then she preserves and pickles everything. We were talking about her the last time we were on the show with you, and we were at her, in Tucson, and she made pear honey, And it's really honey made out of pears. And let me tell you, put that in the biscuit in the morning with a good cup of coffee, and you are a happy camper.
Yeah.
It does
I'm
taste
sure.
like honey, but it's made out of a vegetable instead of bee
That's
honey.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And we've got, everyone will make sure there's a recipe on our site. Just type in pear honey on blendradioandtv.com. It is absolutely delicious. We first learned how to do it on a farm in East Tennessee. And and they had this, it's the end of August, and they had those, you know, those big brown pears. I don't know what their names are again. Those big brown, they go brown, like not rotting, but something like that.
Anjou. There's Bosque, and those are Anjou. Yeah.
Yeah, and her pear tree at that point was losing its leaves, and they were hanging, and so they were making their own pear honey, and it was, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I'm into that. But wow, so I think we've done good on the food for the holidays. I mean, December's pretty darn good. This is very good. So start making ganache and have fun with it. It's a good idea for gifts. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
It's the great thing to do. But happy holidays to you and Miss Tracy
you
and
too.
All your pets out there. And
thank
we
you.
will talk with you soon in January, because in the new year we're going to unganache ourselves, right? Unlager and unganache ourselves. Everyone, again, Chef Ivan's recipe is linked in the show notes. And also just go to blendradioandtv.com and type in ganache. You'll find it. Thanks so much, Chef Ivan.
Good speaking with you, Lisa. Be well.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Big Weekly Blend Podcast. You can keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com. And if you want to get our Big Weekly Blend magazine, just sign up for our newsletter at blendradioandtv.com.